In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The introduction into this gospel, like many other times, has something that should lead your mind back to what was stated previously. Because Luke starts out saying, after these things, he went out, meaning Jesus. After these things, Jesus went out. After what things? If you just read that, what are we talking about? All right? So this is a very important thing. Well, Jesus sees this man sitting at the receipt of custom. Now, tax collectors were hated. The Romans were a very clever group of people, very clever. When they went into an area, they wouldn't have their own tax collectors. If they were in Syria, or if they were in Ethiopia, or if they were in Egypt, or wherever the Romans happened to be, they would take the indigenous people and they would say, we want this amount of tax from this area. And people would bid on the job, because if you could, maybe in your own self-interest, like Zacchaeus, for example, it's written that he was a tax collector, and then there was the notation, and he was rich. How does a tax collector enrich himself? By saying that you owe more than you actually owe. All right? Now, here's the deal about that being a tax collector. It was a double-edged sword. If the Romans decided that a particular area was worth a certain amount of tax, and the tax collector didn't get that tax, he had to pay it out of his own pocket. He had to pay the difference. Sometimes it meant, because, you know, there was the old law of paterfamilias, the head of the household owned his wife, owned his children, owned them. They were property, chattel. He could do with them as he chose. If he owed some money, here, take this kid. Sorry, I just a thought passed my mind. It's too late. My kids are already grown. But think about it just for a minute, the jeopardy that is implied in this job. So the people that became tax collectors were clever. They had to be very sharp business people, entrepreneurs, because if they didn't collect the tax in the right amount, if they bid on a job saying, for example, take areas like here, okay, if Rome were in charge of California, I think Orange County is worth $500 million in tax. LA County is worth $400 million in tax. But they would break it down like, okay, Beverly Hills, Lakewood, Long Beach, Temple City. And a person who would collect tax in those small areas would look at the assessment from the Roman and say, I think I can get more out of this. So how did a tax collector become righteous? It's very, very difficult. Remember what Zaka also said, if I defraud anyone according to the law of Moses, I pay him back fourfold. But there was always a way to sweeten the pot so that the tax collector did do well. And so for this reason and this reason alone, they were hated by everyone. Guess who Levi, or we know him as Matthew. Look who Matthew calls to the feast with Jesus Christ. Tax collectors. Who else is going to come? The righteous are not going to come. The Pharisees and the scribes are standing without, they're looking in and saying, hey, why is he eating with these quislings? I know you don't know the word quisling, Q-U-I-S-L-I-N-G-S. They're people that cooperate with a power like in Vichy France in World War II. Vichy France was a horrible stain on the entire country of France because they cooperated so fully and completely with the Nazis. But a Quisling is somebody who is going to cooperate on that level. And these were tax collectors. These were tax collectors. So what is the meaning then for us? After these things, Jesus went out. After what things? After he had just forgiven a young man his sins. Remember the young man that was taken by four of his friends, and because of the press of the people, they could not enter into the front way, and so they took off the tiles of the roof and let him down in front. And when the people heard that Jesus had said, your sins are forgiven, they couldn't believe it. What blasphemy is this? Who can forgive sins but God only? But Jesus said then, so that you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, I say to you, young man, arise, take up your bed and walk. Go to your own home. And they saw this. It was a command, a simple command. Now, look what Jesus is doing now. He sees a man sitting at the reception of tax, and he says, by his name, Levi, come. That's all. That's all. Remember what the Lord said to the little girl in the upper room? Talitha Kumi? Talitha Kumi? Huh? Little girl, arise. You see, we are dead in sin, except for confession and reconciliation to God the Father. We are dead in sin. We are appearing to be alive. We eat, we drink, we speak, we do all of the things that the saints do in terms of the physical manifestation of life. But we don't have real life unless we have Christ. Now, the Lord looked inside Levi and he saw a man who was tired. You know, the Bible, when it uses a small word, it's not an incidental word. He was sitting. Why was he sitting? I'm not sitting. Most of the time, you don't find me sitting. You find me standing. Why was he sitting? Do you know what you would do when you came into his area? You would bring all of your goods and he would go through them and see what was going to be taxed. Think about Egypt. You want to get a Mercedes-Benz in Egypt? You pay the cost of the Mercedes-Benz to Germany and then you pay another 100% tax to the government of Egypt. So they call the Mercedes-Benz Boudra, right? Because of cocaine. You must be illegal. You're getting a Mercedes-Benz in Egypt? You're a thief. Somehow you're a thief. This was his job. A person who is bound and is attracted deeply to money and possessions, he's active in his tax collecting. He's not sitting. Sitting, therefore, denotes something, in my opinion. And it's that he was exhausted. You know, the saddest thing in the life of somebody who has been pursuing wealth or any of the other passions is when they come to find out that in the middle of those passions, they don't find satisfaction. They aren't happy. They got what they wanted, and they're not happy. I can tell you about people who have married, thinking that this is the person for me, and then they're not happy. They have buyer's remorse. They want to have, a rescission on the contract. But the truth is that in Jesus Christ, if he calls you, there is a certain thing that, and it is a one-time thing. It is. He is not perpetually calling. He is calling. You may hear the echo of his voice in your heart. You may hear it. But he is calling once. He is calling your name. He is bidding you to come. He is not begging you to come. He's not haranguing you. He is not He's not nagging you. He's saying, come. And immediately Levi left. He left his life of passion for material objects. He left without any hope of doing anything else except following. What great faith this is. Come, follow me. Follow me in what, Lord? Where are we going? When are we eating? Where will we sleep? I'm thirsty. Who's going to take care of all these things? Do you see what faith is? Faith is putting aside all of these incidental kinds of competitive thoughts that prevent you from the single thing that the one who made you and who loves you and who created you is saying, come, be with me, come. And it's a single voice. It happens a single time. It may reverberate in you like the voice in a canyon that echoes back to the person who calls forth. But it's that single voice. Come, come. And it is there until it is not. And you think that the people who are sitting next to you are going to go to heaven. Maybe not. It is not because you are here today or even because you commune that you are going to go to heaven. It is not. It is not the case. There are many that have said, Lord, we were with you. We ate and drank in your presence. And what was the Lord's response? I don't know you. I don't know you. When's the last time you confessed? When is the last time you confessed? Just think about that. Why? Why is there such a time interval that passes without your confession? Because you're self-satisfied. If Levi had been self-satisfied, he would have stayed where he was. He wasn't self-satisfied. He had done the thing that he wanted to do, and he found no satisfaction in it. But when you are self-satisfied, you don't want to move. You're inert. This boy on his bed was inert. The man who was sitting in a chair is inert. But it was by the voice of God that said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Levi, come and follow me. And immediately there was the response to the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately. Immediately. No hesitation. This is how we're called. This is how we must respond. And we must hear this voice that once called us, continuously reverberating. I can tell you that when my daughter was born, I would secretly hold her very close to my face and whisper in her ear, Baba. I just wanted her to say Baba. I just wanted to hear that voice, that little tiny voice come out of her and say Baba. And I would bring cookies, and I would bring any kind of treat that I thought, and I'd give it to her and go, Baba, this is Baba. And when you hear that voice, it's the most magnificent sound. It's the thing, you go, I remember just taking a big deep breath and sighing, like, yeah, she's mine. She belongs to me. That's the way the Lord's voice should be in you. You hear that voice. That voice, that tender voice, the voice of your father, the voice who created you, the voice who brought you from the dirt and blew life into you. This voice, you should never forget the sound of that voice. You know, you all have friends. And when you talk to your friend on the telephone, you hear their voice, you know who they are. You know who they are automatically. You don't say, hi, this is Abuna. No, he goes, I, you know, for crying out loud, you know, the people at the Chinese restaurant that I frequent, they know my voice. This is true. You can call up the Panda Inn on Center Point Drive in La Palma and ask them, who's Abuna? There is no question who Abuna is. It's me. I'm Mr. Sweet and Aromatic Shrimp. Yeah, they all know me. We don't know our father. We don't know the one who made us. We don't hear his voice. We don't hear it in the liturgy. We don't hear it in the Bible. We don't hear it. So that when he's calling us from the sin of laziness, from the sin of pride, from whatever sin it is that we are currently investing in, come, come, that voice. Again, it's once, but it stays. It stays. It's not like a clanging bell that you wish to get away from. It's noise. No, 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 no. It's this very beautiful and wonderful, sweet tone. And you hear it like you don't hear anything else. Look, I can tell you when young men and young women have decided that they want to be together and they're thinking about marriage, when that young man hears the voice of his beloved on the telephone, he swoons. His knees get weak. He feels something in his stomach. Like when you first have her on your arm and you're walking and everybody's looking at you and you feel taller, more handsome, stronger, more capable, more intelligent, better educated, because she's with me. Look who's with me. What do you got? Look at this. She's wonderful. Huh? Our Lord is wonderful. Oh Lord, our Lord, how wonderful is thy name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord. You know? And we come to the church. That's why we always say Psalm 83, how beloved are thy dwellings, your house, Lord, the house that you live in, this church, how beloved is it to us? That's why I want you to buy all the grape leaves. How beloved is this church? I love all of you. It makes me happy to see all of your faces, and I wish so very deeply that we could spend more time together. But think about Levi, think about the young man whose sins were forgiven and everybody in disbelief said, oh, this must be blasphemy. And the Lord said, rise, take up your bed and walk. He gives us what we need if we will listen to his voice. If we will listen to his voice. I tell you, run to your father of confession and declare that you are for the Lord Jesus Christ. By separating yourself from all of the passions and all of the sins that you have. That's how you say Jesus is for me. You empty yourself of the other things. And pray for me that I do the same. Glory be to our God both now and ever and unto the age of all ages. Amen.